You're listening to the Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC.
Looper Club.
What the hell was that?
I have no idea. I have no idea why I did that. Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 61. I am your host, Buck, and I am joined, as always, by T-Bone and the G-Man. Coming up shortly, we'll have an interview with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's sports recruiting reporter, Mr. Michael Carvell, a former South Carolinian. What have you guys been up to? I mean, it's been the post Clemson podcast was the most listened to TRC Unleashed in our history.
Wow. And oh, I didn't know that.
Do you know what we did to capitalize on that success?
Absolutely nothing.
Right, we've waited 28 days to record another podcast. So here we are. So what's we got our bowl bid. We're playing Wisconsin in less than 48 hours. And are you guys excited about this thing?
I don't really know. I mean, I'm assuming if we win the game, we'll be happy. Let's put that to the side. But it kind of was so satisfying to get that fifth win in a row over Clemson.
Yeah.
That kind of wish that was just it, you know?
Right.
Let's stop. You know, the legend of Connor Shaw is secure. Everything feels nice and good in the world. Let's just stop. Hope the players don't feel that way. But
right. How about you?
I don't feel that way. I don't know what he's saying. We got more football to watch. We got Connor Shaw one more game. We got Jadeveon Clowney one more game. Why would we want to stop?
I'll tell you why.
It's because you don't get to high-five Clemson fans every day like I do.
Well, you know, now,
every time you hold a baby that's crying for one of your Clemson fan friends, you don't say, "Oh, I know it's hard, little boy. It's hard when you're Jadeveon Clowney bearing down a void," or something like that. You know, it works into every conversation right now for me.
I hear you, but I'm hungry for some football. I've been watching old games on YouTube pretty much every day. So yeah. I mean, I need some more football. And I want some more Connor Shaw. I want some more Clowney. So yeah, I'm excited about the game. I mean,
well, and we may need some good football. I mean, if you've been watching some bowl games, this is some bad football.
Oh, yeah, there have been some awful bowl games. Yeah. I mean, just terrible so far. I just turned off Oregon 30, Texas 7.
Yeah, with Oregon only scoring one offensive touchdown and they get 30 points.
And Georgia Tech Ole Miss earlier today was a close game, or it turned out to be a close game, but it was a horrible football game. I mean, horrible football game. So, yeah, we need to see some quality teams on the field, no doubt. I guess it's just, and I kind of felt like this before the Michigan game last year. I think I was excited about Nebraska 2 years ago. Last year and this year, just heading into the game, I've just kind of felt like this is icing. You know, it was like the Clemson game. I would have gone into, I'd still be in a funk if we had lost the Clemson game. If we lose on New Year's Day, it'll be kind of like, well, you know, had a good year. I'm not sure I'll be terribly disappointed just because I'm not as emotionally invested, I don't think, as regular season games or the SEC games. Just because, I mean, it's 1 o'clock on New Year's Day. I don't think we covered this whole Cotton Bowl debate thing, you know, after the Clemson game.
Yeah.
I wanted the Cotton Bowl so bad because you've got a primetime game on a Friday night. Now, this year it's going up against the Orange Bowl, but typically the Cotton has a night to itself. But still, we're going to be playing alongside at least two other games, and I think three other games for part of the time on New Year's Day. So I don't know. I mean, I'm with you, G-Man. I love football, and I love to see the Gamecocks play again, but I just kind of wish it was something else. Does that make sense? I wish it was more.
What you're seeing there is, you know, a creature of our recent success. You know, you're seeing 4 or 5 years ago, we're like, please, Liberty Bowl, please take us. Now we're looking at what used to be the premier non-BCS bowl, whatever you want to characterize it as, and we're like, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So that's just us getting spoiled. It shows that, you know, our programs take a few steps and we're getting spoiled.
I know.
Well, and I mean, I was going to say, I mean, you took the words out of my mouth there, T-Bone. I think it's a little bit of getting spoiled because, I mean, here we are going to either the best or the second best non-BCS bowl, which we know is better than a couple of BCS bowls, okay? I mean, listen.
Right.
And so, I mean, here we are going to this again for the second time in 3 years. I mean, maybe we're a little bit spoiled, but guys, I mean, this is about as good as it gets for the Gamecocks. I know we're disappointed that we didn't go to the Cotton. We're disappointed we didn't go to the Sugar because we know we were right there again, chance to go to the Sugar. But I'm not going to take this for granted because we know how quickly this can be taken away from us.
Yeah, so. I know. And I know there are people listening to this right now that will just think I'm a whiny bitch, and that's fine. Because I kind of am, you know.
We know you are.
But it is, you know, Wisconsin is a quality opponent, top-notch opponent, and I don't know that I know it. All I keep hearing is about their power running game. But that's really all I know. Is that they run the ball 65 times a game, and they have two running backs who have over 1,500 yards or something like that. So that's about the only scouting report. And they got a white wide receiver named Abracadabra. That's about all I know.
That dude, Abadaris, he can play, okay? He can play. I don't know if you watched him any last year or 2 years ago when Wilson was the quarterback.
Yeah.
That guy was catching everything under the sun last year. I mean, he is a NFL player, and we got to watch out for him. I don't know if we want to talk Wisconsin, but you know, right now scouting report, we got to watch out for that cat. And their running backs are both outstanding. Quarterback is he's good, but not great. And they're going to come out and try to hit us in the mouth early, and then they're going to go play action with that Abadaris guy. And so, I mean, this is big boy football. We don't come out ready to play. This is not Michigan last year. They're tougher than Michigan. They got a really good linebacker who makes like 25 tackles a game. I mean, they're good. They're very good.
What I keep equating them to, what I keep thinking of them to follow up on that point is they're Florida, but with a quarterback. You know, they're gonna play our defense, and they're gonna run the ball right at you, and then like say every once in a while that quarterback's gonna throw it over your head.
They're right. Not as athletic as Florida on defense. You're not gonna see their you're not gonna see the speed you saw on the Florida on defense. But they're very disciplined and they're tough. Just a really tough team. If you watch Wisconsin in the last few years, what I always think of is just toughness and execution and running backs who just, you know, they seem to get 5 yards on every carry.
Yeah.
The other thing too is if you watch if you watched or listened to the press conference today, everybody, both coordinators and both the offensive and defensive guys, they said basically in the press conference they said two words, then they said Connor Shaw.
Right.
I mean, the Wisconsin team's like sounds like they are keyed up and gonna game plan to stop Connor Shaw. So, So
this kind of leads into our Twitter questions. Layla took a break from her Sons of Anarchy binge watching to ask us a question. She says, "Why are we underdogs for this game? Is it strength of schedule? I think it's a combination of." The nation recognizes that Wisconsin is a really, really good football program, and this is a fringe BCS caliber team, just like we're a fringe BCS caliber team. But I don't think we've gotten quite as much respect this year. I mean, we had some close games that probably shouldn't have been close games. We lost to Tennessee. You know, the Missouri win now at the end of the year looks great. But the Clemson win looks good, not particularly great. But, you know, we didn't win impressively a whole lot this year. I don't think we won games as impressively this year as we did last year. What do you guys think?
That's the answer. The answer is style points. We don't have a lot of style points out there.
But when do we ever have style points? I mean,
you're right.
Thinking that we didn't win very pretty last year. I mean, this year we blew out Arkansas. We blew out Coastal. Every other game was you know, a gut-wrenching. Every single one, gut-wrenching. I mean, Vandy, Kentucky, Central Florida. Clemson was one of the more comfortable wins we had, actually.
Right.
And so, but, you know, I don't mind being, you know, cast as the underdog or, you know, get a little bit of disrespect. That's okay. I mean, our guys may need a little bit of that as motivation. But who really cares? I mean, we're going to go out there and we're going to play the game. And I think our guys, one thing that we have now that we can always count on that we haven't had in the past is physical defensive line, physical offensive line. They may not be the most talented, especially on the offensive side, but you know, we're going to be in the game because we are physical and tough up front. Are we going to be able to make enough plays, and are we going to turn the ball over? If we don't turn the ball over and we play well on the lines of scrimmage, it's going to be anybody's ball game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Nate Kaminsky at PhoneHand on Twitter. He doesn't have a real question. This is just kind of funny, and it will lead into discussion of T-Bone's favorite player. It says, what's the story with the safety for Wisconsin? He was a Gamecock quarterback, ? Is that why we are underdogs, because our quarterbacks are only good enough to play safety for Wisconsin? How good of a safety would Connor Shaw be if he played for Wisconsin? And should Dylan Thompson theoretically start at safety over Connor Shaw if they played for Wisconsin, because he's better against the pass? So,
geez, those weren't tweets. That was a blog post.
It was. But it did bring up Tanner McAvoy, who is playing, who was at South Carolina, was the I don't know. I guess he finished the spring as the fourth string quarterback last spring. That'd be spring of 2012. And got in a little bit of trouble with the law. Transferred to some junior college out in Arizona, was it?
Correct.
And just threw for 4,000 yards and, you know, 100 touchdowns, and was highly recruited. Came to Wisconsin, did not play well in the spring, and was moved to safety. And actually, the very little bit I've seen of Wisconsin this year, I saw him have an interception in a game. So he's getting some playing time back there at safety.
He's always been a good athlete. I think the question was always, you know, could he be a career quarterback?
Yeah.
Or is he going to be a slightly downgraded version of Steven Garcia?
Yeah.
Was he not going to have that kind of heart, but he'll have all those attitude problems. So,
right.
I don't know. I think he probably ended up where he would have ended up with us. You know, he just wasn't patient. Here, he's out of other options.
Yeah. So, G-Man, win or lose?
Oh, we're going to win.
T-Bone?
We're going to lose, and I'll tell you why. Sorry. Drinking some water here. We are going
water. To... Water made you cough.
Water, yes, it did. I'm used to alcohol. The reason we're going to lose is because we don't have Demir Byrd to stop the kickoff return for a touchdown that Wisconsin's going to beat us by.
That's right. We won't have Demir Byrd on special teams. I'm going to go with a win. I say we pull it out by less than 5 points. So. All right. Well, you guys just watching at home like me?
Yep.
Yeah, we're just so lame. When was the last? We haven't been to a bowl game since the Chick-fil-A back in 2010.
Yeah.
I need to pick back up.
Well, we've lost both bowl games I've gone to, so I decided it was best for the team.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. Excuse me. All right. Well, that'll do it for the discussion of the Wisconsin game. Now we're going to take a break. We had a discussion with Michael Carvel, the recruiting reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, that we're going to play for you right now. And when we come back, we will take more of your tweets and and requests, and we'll talk some basketball. So we'll be right back after this. All right, joining us now is the recruiting reporter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and fellow South Carolinian, Mr. Michael Carvell. Michael, thanks for joining us. How are you tonight?
Happy holidays, gentlemen.
Glad to have you. Hey, we know you're on the road. You know, people have got New Year's parties and bowl games, but you're a working man. Tell us where you're heading this week.
I am headed to the Under Armour All-America Classic, the All-Star football game in Orlando, Florida. It's where, I guess, 100 or so of the nation's top prospects congregate for a week. And it's really good for recruiting reporters, not only for the obvious reasons for news and stuff like that, and the commitments, which is, you know, the main reason people watch, but it's also a good chance to compare apples to apples. Sometimes, you know, you don't know how good a player who plays in Oklahoma may be as good as another player at the same position in Georgia or California or whatever. So it's one of the few places where you can really, as far as rankings are concerned, which everybody loves, you can compare apples to apples.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You get to see what the level of competition is like from state to state. Although when they, you know, when they get to this level, I mean, do you ever run across a guy who may be a 4 or 5 star down there who gets in the ring with some of these guys from different states or different areas of the country, or that just doesn't measure up? Have you run into that before?
All the time. And what happens there is some of these recruiting analysts, they sort of back themselves into a corner, sort of like an NFL GM does, because these guys are ranked so high, and if they drop too fast, then it makes it look like the recruiting analyst maybe, you know, didn't know what he was talking about. Sort of like in the NFL, where you see a guy who's maybe a first-round pick who may be a bust, but they continue to give him chance after chance because the GM doesn't want to look bad by drafting somebody who was a bust. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So, who are some of the guys you're looking forward to seeing when you're down there? We know you cover Georgia, but any of the Georgia guys or anybody outside of the state you're really looking forward to seeing in person?
Yeah, I mean, I'm down there watching mainly the Georgia guys. Top Georgia players in it are Deshaun Watson, who's committed to your favorite school, Clemson. I think he got a knee injury in his last high school game that he played.
Right.
It's a sprained left knee. They thought it was maybe an MCL or something more serious, but the early x-rays and early medical diagnosis says it's a sprained left knee. He expects to be in a brace for 6 weeks and then be ready for Clemson's spring practice. And I mean, he may compete for the job right off, because I really don't know what Clemson has. I know they have a lot of guys, a lot of quarterback prospects who are really highly ranked. But, you know, like with all these kids, you really don't know what they can do until they get until they report to college.
Yeah. So overall, you know, you cover the SEC. Who is doing well in recruiting? And I guess kind of where I'm leading to is Tennessee. You know, Tennessee is doing really well in recruiting, and I'm just trying to figure out how in the world they're managing to take about 150 commitments, you know, when you can only sign 25 guys. It feels like they've got a great recruiting class, but how are they going to fit all these people in there?
Yeah, you're diehard recruiting if you know about Tennessee, and yeah, a lot of people in the college football circles are wondering what exactly is going on with Tennessee. I think their slogan is brick by brick, and everybody's saying, well, you got too many bricks. You know, they got somewhere like 33, 34, 35 commitments or expecting that many by signing day. And, you know, the SEC's got all that, those new oversigning rules where you're really only supposed to take 25 in a calendar year. Now, you can back count some, like you can sign some this year. If you undersigned last year, like if you signed below 25 last year, say you signed 20 last year, you can count 5 from this year back toward last year. But Tennessee's talking about bringing, you know, around 35 guys in. So everybody's wondering, how are they going to do it? And one way they've talked about doing it is a new term I've never heard of. It's called blue shirting, which is having a kid report in the summer as a walk-on, and then they can put them on a scholarship then, and he won't count toward the numbers. However, he can't take an official visit to the school recruiting him, which is Tennessee, or he can't have the college head coach come make an in-house visit. So everybody's trying to see what's going on there. And then the other thing they're trying to do is they're trying to count guys, and it's a real long story, but they're trying to count kids who signed financial aid agreements not in that 25-limit period. It's a long story, but they're trying. I mean, they're trying to find a loophole.
Yeah, Michael. Thanks for that, because we were wondering about that whole Tennessee thing too, watching from afar. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the Gamecock recruiting. As you know, over the past few years, the Gamecocks have made a heavy emphasis on recruiting the Atlanta area. In particular, our defense coordinator Lorenzo Ward has made a pretty good pipeline to certain high schools in the Atlanta area, picking up guys like Mike Davis. And this year, a couple of guys coming out of there, most recently, I think Dante Sawyer committed to us, and there's a couple of the guys we're looking at. Tell us your impressions of how the Gamecocks have done in the Atlanta area, how they've made the inroads there, and what you think the prospects are for them to continue to do well in the future.
Dante Sawyer, he's probably a 6'2", 6'3", defensive end, a little bit undersized, but he's got a great motor. I think if he was a couple inches taller, you know, he'd be a top 50 recruit in the nation. He was going to suck between Alabama and Georgia last spring, and I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if either college was ready to accept his commitment at that time. Maybe they wanted to see him as a senior. But he got to be a senior, had a good season, and then he picked South Carolina over Missouri. I don't think that was much of a surprise there. But I really like him, and I think he's probably the best player they've got so far this year out of Georgia. Another guy is Bryson Allen Williams.
Right.
I guess he's a linebacker defensive end out of Cedar Grove High School.
Right.
I don't really know. It's going to be interesting to see how he projects for the Gamecocks at linebacker, because he plays defensive end in high school. So he's going to have to learn a new position. But, you know, he's a good athlete. And he's about as good of a kid as you'll ever come across. He's really friendly. Anybody who tweets at him on Twitter, he usually responds. He's just a real outgoing, classy kid.
Well, those two are who they have committed. I tell you, the guy that they're after, who committed to us and decommitted, who everybody wants to know where he's going, is the Wesley Green kid, the cornerback. And everybody probably knows the Gamecocks are pretty thin next year cornerback, and the Gamecock faithful want to know if we have a chance at this kid. I think it's now the favorites are Georgia and South Carolina. You got any insight on where you think he might be headed?
Yeah, that was a real weird situation. Evidently, South Carolina dropped the ball there. Apparently, he was committed to South Carolina, I guess, during the summer, and he never heard from them. And his coach has never heard from them. I'm meaning South Carolina, but he didn't hear regularly from South Carolina. His coaches didn't hear regularly from South Carolina. You know, in that situation, if you don't hear from coaches, I mean, that's an alarm. Probably means that maybe they're looking at somebody else. You're not as much as a priority. Yeah.
How about, there's a couple of kids in the 2015 class, DJ Neal. Arden Key was another one who committed, and I think he decommitted as well. And who's the other guy, G-Man? Chauncey Rivers.
Rivers, yeah. Yeah, is a good one.
Yeah, so, you know, the Gamecocks seem to be canvassing the Atlanta area for some talented guys. What do you think they're going to have to do to hold on to guys like Neal and Rivers?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't sweat 2015 kids too much. So far away from signing day, I'll probably change your mind.
Right.
You know, every other week, every other month. So I don't even bother really covering that too much, because it's a little bit far off. It, so many things can happen, and they often do. I think it really, I almost really count it commitment only when it happens after signing day this year for next year.
Right.
I mean, it's good. I understand why the colleges do it, because if the kid committed there, I guess there's a better chance that he may end up there. But yeah, when you get kids who are committed, who are sophomores, juniors, stuff like that, or before their junior season begins, it's a little bit out there. I know Georgia, they have five commitments in this class for 2014. I'm sorry, five decommitments. And four of those were the first four kids who committed, including one after his freshman year of high school. So I wouldn't, if I was a Gamecock fan, I wouldn't be worried too much about 2015. I'd be worried about closing out 2014 and with guys like Wes LaGrange. You know, can they win him back? I do think it's a great sign, you know, that he's willing to take an official visit there after decommitting. Because usually, almost always, once a kid cuts ties and decommits, he won't have anything to do with the school, and the school that was recruiting him or he was committed to won't have anything to do with him.
Right. Yeah, well, that's what happened last year with that Brandon Langley kid who committed to us and ended up going to Georgia. Let me ask you about Mike Davis. Are you surprised at what he's doing at USC, or did you think he was going to be the kind of player he's turned out to be in college?
Well, this has nothing to do with Mike Davis. It's more kids at his high school.
Right.
They had so many kids in that year's class at Stevenson, and they really do a good job marketing them. But on the other hand, they also hype them up a lot. You don't know who to believe about who.
Right.
Over there. I think that year they had maybe 15 guys at one point that were considered D1 prospects, and I think 12 ended up signing with BC at the top of schools. I mean, he was always talented. If he was a couple inches taller, you know, he was definitely the top running back out of Georgia that year, and if he was a couple inches taller, he probably would have been a top 20 player. And what he's doing in college is phenomenal. He's one of the friendliest, most personable guys you'll ever come around. And of course, he's a legacy with his brother, James Davis. He's a you know, being a big time player at the other school. So,
right.
So yeah, it's great to see him and Chaz Elder and guys like that.
Yeah. We've been able to make some headway in Georgia, no doubt about it. All right. Well, Michael, I'll tell you what. We'll let you get your eyes back on the road. We know you're a busy man, and you got a busy week ahead of you. But we appreciate you taking out time and joining us for the show.
All right, gentlemen, have a great New Year's.
Yeah, happy New Year to you, and congratulations on the wedding too. How's married life treating you?
Well, I'm still married.
Oh, good. Way to hang in there.
That was a joke, guys.
I hear you.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Michael. All right. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. All right. Take care. Happy New Year.
All right. Thanks again to Michael Carvel for joining us. We do have one player down there at the Under Armour All-American game committed to us that we didn't talk about, which was Kevin Casey Crosby. G-Man, is he going to play tight end for us?
I think you're looking at tight end, H-back. When I was reading about his Shrine Bowl performance, they said that the thing about him at the Shrine Bowl is he just looked polished and he caught everything that was in his area code. He was one of those kids who, when he was in the ninth grade, 10th grade, he was like the consensus top freshman, the consensus top sophomore. He just stopped growing. And so the knock on him is he never got over 6 feet tall. So, you know, he's your classic undersized guy who, you know, where is he going to play? Is he going to be a fullback? Is he going to be a tight end? Is he going to be a linebacker?
Right.
He wants to play tight end. And that's why he's here, because we were giving him that chance. So, yeah, I think he's going to play tight end for us, and I think he's going to be very productive.
So a couple of very recent football notes. One, Bruce Ellington is hinting that he may be going pro, even though he's really not on the NFL scouts' radar so much. I mean, he's not really you really don't find his name in any of the rankings for wide receivers. Good move or bad move, T-Bone?
You know, I'm not really sure. I'm all for Bruce Ellington, and I mean, he's played, if you count football and basketball, He's played, what, 7 full seasons of collegiate sports for us?
Right.
So maybe it's just 6. But at some point, aren't we just being greedy if we want him to come back?
Yeah.
So in terms of good move for him or bad move for him, I think it would be hard to argue that he could hurt his stock, you know, coming back. I think he could probably help his stock coming back. But, you know, the kid may not want to hang around and get his master's degree. He just graduated the other day. So I could see him going. I could see him going even if he ends up having to be a, you know, free agent. He's seen his cousin make big bucks and guys that he was ahead of on the depth chart make big bucks.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can see it.
I think it's selfishly, I'd like to have him back, and I think it's a bad move for him football-wise because I don't think he has what Ace Sanders had, which is that extra – the punt return skills, all of that. I mean, I don't think Bruce really stands out at the pro level to where it's going to make a big difference for him. I think it would be better for him to come back and play in an offense next year that I think is going to be a more of a passing offense. I think he'll have a chance to catch 60 balls next year if he comes back in this offense, which is going to get him more publicity. But I think he's going to go. I think the handwriting's on the wall. I think he's going to go. I wish him the best. I'm just not sold that he's going to go make an NFL team.
Right. All right. The other note, and I don't really know what to make of this. I think Steve Spurrier Jr. was asked if he would be interested in the Duke offensive coordinator job, since the Duke offensive coordinator is going to Florida, and I think he said he would be. I don't know if he's been actually asked or contacted or if that was just a random reporter question. Do you guys know anything about that?
Random reporter question. He went on to add that he had not been contacted. It almost sounded a little bit like he's saying, hey, somebody give me a call. I mean, he's a Duke alum, right?
Yeah.
I think so. You know, if they don't call him, it's at least call the guy. That's kind of an insult.
Yeah.
I would think.
So Jorge _ Stevens on Twitter asked us, which of you three will take over wide receiving coaching duties if Spurrier Jr. leaves? So I think we just take T-Bone out of the equation altogether.
Yeah. I mean, that's easy right there.
So it's down to me. I'm the only one with football coaching experience, so I've got that going for me.
Albeit on a different level.
Right. Well, yeah, it's 8 to 10-year-olds. So, and we never really threw the ball a whole lot. So I don't know. I think it's probably a coin toss between me and the G-Man.
G-Man can identify the talent, but he can't develop them. There's just no way.
G-Man is a motivator, though. I'm a motivator.
G-Man's a shower, not a grower. why are y'all laughing?
Hey, if I get the job, I'm going to go full-blown Dabo on them. So, I mean, right. They're going to be all fired up. So I think they need to give me the job.
Serious cheerleader. Let's see. What other questions did we have from the Twitterati? A better hashtag. Where is it? Brandy threw a couple our way. Better hashtag Freak Nasty or Angel Boy Swag. Which is the better quarterback and which is the better hashtag? I'm going to go with Dylan Thompson as the better quarterback and Freak Nasty as the better hashtag.
I think that is the right answer. Yeah.
Yeah. And then T-Bone, this one is right up your alley. Where is Jupiter?
Oh, where is Jupiter? Let's see. Beat Click Clack is going to be in the Midlands, I think.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think she's in the Greenville area, isn't she?
Oh, okay. Well, even easier. A couple of ways to find it. One is if you can find Orion's belt and then find Orion's shoulders and head, look directly above Orion's head and you'll see Gemini. Somewhere between Castor and Pollux, the two bright stars in Gemini, you'll see Jupiter this time of the year.
Boring!
I was just waiting. I'm like, here, counting on my fingers. When does G-Man interrupt me? When does G-Man?
You know what's funny? And G-Man, I don't think you were privy to this. I think she texted us that she was getting a telescope. Was it for Christmas or something like that?
Yeah.
And T-Bone, man, he went crazy on that. Ooh, what kind are you getting? Oh! Is it a CX-3000? Because if it is...
I could sense him speeding up his answer because I think he was anticipating me breaking in with a bullet.
I was thinking there might be a few listeners out there that really want to know, and I felt like I had to get the knowledge out there.
The more he talked, the more embarrassed he got that he knew what he was talking about. Lord have mercy.
Football show.
This week in the night sky with T-Bone, we will be
a new podcast. Hey,
spinoff blog for you.
So I don't want to. I'm not sure why the Twitter account Beat Clemson asked us this, but I didn't want to leave it out because apparently Beat Clem and the G-Man know each other. So
that's right.
He says, "What do you think Dabo's favorite color is?"
That's when T-Bone's got to answer that.
Dabo's favorite color is probably whatever color's right in front of his face. I don't think he sits back and reflects on these questions.
Yeah,
I could say this. His color is whatever coaching job is available. Like right now, it's probably burnt orange or something like that.
Right, yeah. All right, so, you know, basketball season's going on, and I've been – G-Man was actually at the game tonight. I have been watching – more than I should, and I've been letting this team upset me more than it should. But what have they won now? 4 out of 5, or 3 out of 4?
Correct.
A win over Akron, a pretty ugly loss to a good Boise team, another win over Akron, and then beat an undermanned Marshall team tonight. Definitely seen improvement over the last week or so. But I still think a 500 record in the SEC is probably going to be out of reach this year. What are your impressions so far of this basketball team, G-Man?
It is 4 out of 5, by the way, because I just thought they beat St. Mary's before they lost to
right.
Boise.
Yeah, that's right.
Akron twice, and they won tonight.
Yeah.
But I think you're right on with the 500 would be a huge accomplishment for this team. But you do see glimpses. You see glimpses of progress. You see individual efforts that are encouraging for the future. I'll tell you, the player that I am most impressed with, you tell me if you agree with this, but of the newcomers, you know, they Ty Johnson's going to be what he is. Thornwell is going to be a nice player. But the guy that I like the most is Dwayne Notice.
Yeah.
He looks like a linebacker.
Right.
But
yeah.
Tonight he had 13 points, 6 boards, and 6 assists. And I'm riding home, and they're getting ready to do – I left a little bit early, and they're riding home, and they're getting ready to do their Terminex player of the game. And they just read his stat line, and then they said that Tyrone Johnson had 18 points. And I'm thinking, okay, 5 more points than him, but he had 6 boards, 6 assists. And Demetra's talking about him, and I'm thinking, surely Demetra's going to name Notice the player of the game, because if you watch the game, he was clearly the catalyst, right?
Right.
No, they named Tyrone Johnson player of the game. But yeah. But anyway, Notice is a good player. I think he's going to play a ton of minutes for us. Henry is good. And I'll tell you what, we'd be in a world of hurt without Brenton Williams, because he's the only guy who can really fill it up from outside.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's been, you know, and Frank Martin, you cannot, and I think Chicken Hoops tweeted this in the middle of tonight's game, if you try to predict what kind of lineup combination that Frank Martin's going to put on the court, just forget it. Because, you know, Michael Carrera had a great game against Akron, was it Akron on Saturday, and then he didn't play for the first 8 minutes tonight. He didn't come in until about the 12-minute mark of this game. And Big Chat will play a lot one game and not so much. And we had a lot of foul trouble tonight, so some of the other guys got some playing time. But I agree. You know, Notice didn't get a whole lot of minutes the first few games, and then he just came on in Hawaii and looks like, you know, some of that international competition he's been participating in, you can tell he's got a toughness about him that is a little greater than some of the other guys we have on the team. Henry's going to be a really good player. And I'm going to back off a little bit on a text that you and I had going back and forth about how unathletic this team is. I think we're probably a little more athletic than I thought after watching them tonight, because that was a very athletic Marshall team, and we seemed to hang with them pretty good. But, you know, Thornwell is not particularly athletic. Johnson is not. You know, the Lithuanians obviously are not. Brenton Williams, a pretty athletic guy, but it's just we got a lot of grinders on the team, it seems like.
Yeah, we don't have any of those jumping jack athletes who you know who could just jump up and touch the back of the backboard. You just don't. You don't have, yeah. Or the top of the backboard. You just don't have those guys. And that's one thing I was going to say when you were talking about the lineup. Yeah. It's because we have about 12 guys who are pretty interchangeable. We don't have guys who jump off the page. I mean, I was walking out of the game with a guy, one of the game winner tonight, and I said, you know, it's unfortunate, but we are a team of, like we have in the last couple of years, a team of complementary players.
Yeah.
And you don't have that guy who is going to lead you, who's going to, unless somebody emerges, and that's what's going to happen, you know, with this team until we're able to find that guy to come in and be the guy to build around. And that's why he plays all these different lineups. He's looking for combinations, and nobody really jumps out and is that much better than the other guys out there.
Right.
So I think he's looking to see who can perform. So, you know, I think we're definitely a year, maybe 2 years away, and we're definitely a big aircraft carrier type of player away. We need a 6'9", 6'10 guy who can block a shot and eat some space. We don't have that guy.
Right. T-Bone, what do you think?
Well, a couple things. I'll do my normal troll that I do whenever y'all start talking about basketball. Guys, it's never going to happen. Don't get your heart all wrapped up in it. But with that having been said, I do like the interchangeable lineups, because I'll tell you what the interchangeable lineups show is it's Frank is not panicking. He's not worried about, oh, I got this guy that's hot, I got to keep him. No. He long-term building project here.
That's right.
So that's the good news, I guess.
Yeah.
He is building for the long term, and you say it's never going to happen. You know, I sort of part of me wants to agree with you, but then I thought the same thing about football for years. And we were able to build it and win, so I'm going to stay optimistic. There's enough talent in this state for us to win in basketball if we can just keep some of it home. So that's the challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, that will pretty much do it for this show, and we got a ball game on Wednesday, New Year's Day. We'd love to wish everyone a very happy New Year. Hope you've had a good Christmas, good holiday season. And, guys, anything to add as we close out the year 2013?
Well, a couple things there. Should we do a Blitz Jewelry Rubber Chickens Award, or do we only do that after games?
What, like a rubber chicken of the year?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, let's do a Blitz Jewelry Rubber Chicken of the Year. I go Connor Shaw.
Dang it. Well, that was short. Anyway.
Think about it. Here is something I did want to talk about. I think, do you remember, it was a blog post I did it may have been 3 years ago about the South Carolina football Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
So at the time, I had Rogers, Spurrier, Lattimore, and Sterling Sharp.
Mm.
Who would have ever thought that Connor Shaw would be in that conversation? I'm not saying he'd be up there, but you know, wow, to see how far he has come in our minds, at least in the last year or so, you know.
Well, and just to kind of, you know, put an exclamation point on that, one of your questions from Twitter tonight was what kind of safety would Connor Shaw be? He would be the most underrated safety in college football.
Right. He'd be a damn good safety.
He'd be a doggone good safety. Yeah. That never got any credit.
Yeah, but he'd knock his shoulder out of joint like three times on big reps, you know.
Right.
They'd be over there popping his shoulder back in and, you know, trying to get his shoulder pads on and get him back in the game so he could go bust it up again. That's what he'd be doing.
He's a warrior. Love that guy.
Yeah. You know what's funny? The Mount Rushmore thing, you know, Rodgers is a permanent fixture because he's a Heisman winner. Spurrier is now a permanent fixture because he's the winningest coach in the history of the program. And those other two slots are kind of up for grabs in my mind. I don't think it's Lattimore and Sharp, even though I think Sharp might be the best football player in the history of the program. I don't know. I don't know who would fill those two slots now. Maybe you put – there'd certainly be an argument for Clowney. There'd certainly be an argument for Shaw. And, you know, I know G-Man's old enough. He'll make an argument for Tommy Suggs, but
– Tommy! Nah, I'm not gonna go there, but I would say that Shaw has got to be in the conversation. I mean, he's, you know, if he could expand that Rushmore to six,
yeah,
he's definitely in it.
Hey, Connor Shaw is definitely on the Gamecock Stone Mountain. There's just no way.
That's like 30 guys riding horses, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, he's in the laser show is all I'm saying.
Yeah. So, G-Man, who's your rubber chicken award of the year? Rubber chicken of the year. Blitz Jewelry.
Rubber chicken of the year. Put me on the spot, too. Ooh, let me think about that just a second.
Quit stalling. T-Bone, who you got?
It's Connor Shaw.
All right. I guess you can take mine.
I'm going to go with Kelce Quarles.
That's a good call. He's a guy even halfway through the season. I don't think we realize what kind of a season he was having, you know.
Kelce Quarles, the guy's going to be maybe a second round draft pick in the draft coming up. I mean, the guy had a big year. I mean, he was always there, you know, and seems like he was not crawling off the field like he was in the last couple of years, hurt all the time. I mean, he was in there playing tough, making tackles, making sacks. I mean, Kelce was a rock.
Right.
Well, he just, every game he played, he was a little better than the game before. I mean, he as this year went on, he got better and better and better. I mean, he ended up being an All-American.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Good call. All right. T-Bone, you don't have anybody else you want to throw out there? Elliot Fry.
Kurt Botkin.
Kurt Botkin. That's a good call. Good call.
Just because of the fight. I'm still not over that fight he had with Deke, and I wish he'd gotten one good punch in.
Why?
I just don't like the look of that Deke.
You don't
guy.
Like Deke? I don't like the name Deke.
Deke. He's going to be gone after
kind
this year.
What name
anyway.
Is that? All right. All right. Well, that should do it for this episode of TRC Unleashed, the final one of 2013. Happy New Year, everybody. But before we sign off, we would like to remind you it has now been 1,858 days since South Carolina last lost to Clemson in football. I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com. For T-Bone and the G-Man, Happy New Year, everybody.
Totally choke on the neck. All
right, here we go. This has never happened before.
That's not the first time you've said that.
Hello.
Do you want me to do it?
This episode's number 61. All right, here we go.
Oh okay, God, Jeff.
This is so stupid.
Buck.
You want me to do it? Hey, Buck, I'll do it. You want me
to do it? All right. Hunger in Rwanda.
Alright, hey, T-Bone, count me down. I'm gonna do it.
Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is, all right, here we go. All right, I got it.
Okay, all right,
five, four.